Basically, what we're trying to do is to get some sense not only how the older Inupiat traveled, but also to do some comparisons with younger people, and especially like yourself, where you've been brought up in one place, in Barrow, and then come over here, and there had obviously to be some kinds of adjustments you had to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you had any kinds of difficulties here in terms of traveling? I know you've been traveling, you've been out hunting. And how's it gone generally? Has it been easy or difficult or what? Making the adjustment?
Yeah, it's been pretty easy making the adjustment. The terrain up here, mountainous country, better than the flat country I grew up in.
Yeah.
Barrow and Wainwright.
Have you found it an easier place to travel in because of that?
Yeah, you could work your way around the country better by landmarks, rivers. You could guide by where the mountainside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old were you? You just came over here when you got married, is that right?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
1978.
You've been here for a while. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you do much traveling, much hunting while you were up at Barrow?
I'd go out spring whaling.
Okay. How about hunting otherwise? Did you go out to the tundra, do any caribou hunting?
Yeah, we'd go up the river by boat for caribou.
Mm-hmm. Do any ice hunting?
Ice.
Seal hunting, maybe?
Not that much. Wintertime, I was in school.
Right.
And by the time I left, I was just out of high school. So I went right to work. So I didn't really get to do a lot of winter travel.
Okay.
You
worked in town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pipeline was just starting and stuff like that.
There were a lot of jobs available.
Mm-hmm.
You go out on weekends or during the summertime vacations or what?
While I was working.
While you were working, yeah.
Yeah, I take a week or two off in between.
Mostly in the summertime?
Summer, winter maybe.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember going out when you were young with your dad? Did he take you out hunting? I'm trying to think, were you around when they were still using dog teams?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember him taking you out with him when he went hunting?
Not those really early trips, no.
Mm.
But I remember we were on by track vehicle.
Mm. Okay.
You know, those army type weasels.
Yeah, I used to ride them their ways as well. Mm. That was back during the 50s, though.
Mm. Yeah, I got to go around my dog team when I was growing up too.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly my grandparents' team.
Do you remember them ever providing you any kind of instruction on how you went around? You were supposed to keep from getting lost when you were out there, or was it sort of assumed that you'd always be out with somebody else?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably be out with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. You don't recall a Barrow having been out on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Hunting?
Yeah, Wainwright, we'd go out geese hunting. went on several trips following springs, and then my cousins and I, we went on our own. Our family was whaling, and so us, the younger boys, we went out camping and geese hunting for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, okay. But again, you went out with other people who knew that area.
Yeah.
You didn't really travel by yourself.
So we tried it on our own and found a place, and yeah, we followed the river up to Ivisara Creek.
Yeah.
Off the main river.
Yeah, I know where it is.
And then we were coming home, and the river had broken up. The river was running. So we went back to our campsite. And we eyeballed right towards the ocean and made a straight shot up to the coast. I think that was good. 20-25 miles.
You knew where the coast was. Yeah.
So we went to the coast and then traveled out through the ice and got back to
Wainwright. Okay. So that was about the only way you could avoid crossing the river that had already broken up.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you learn at all about snowdrifts and how to use those for direction?
Sort of, somewhat, yeah.
Well, what do you remember about
not
that?
Not that much. But, at Wainwright, we'd say the snowdrifting would cross east-west, if you were traveling north-south. If you get out in the flats up there.
So that meant that you could use the snowdrifts for maintaining a direction?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever use it for that? Or you tend to follow trails instead?
Yeah, I make use of the drifting patterns here. Like in certain valleys or rivers, it'll flow one or two ways, like north and south, and then sometimes east-west, depending on river or creek is situated, like on the map. I follow the, if it's, we get into a bad storm, like in the Chandler Valley, west of here, about 30 some miles.
Yeah.
The drifts north and south pattern.
Are they? Okay.
It's a nice big white valley like this. 4 miles across. And there's a river to guide you, but you could see the drifting, how long lengthways of the wind. You could kind of guide yourself if you start chopping them across, you know, you're heading off somewhere.
You've done that over here then?
Yeah. Like in these big white valleys.
Did you learn that over here, or is that from what you learned in Barrow or Wainwright?
Most of it around here.
You learned it around here.
Mm.
Did when you came, I guess you remember when you first came here, did you have people to teach you how to travel around here, or did you go out with some people, or how did that work? How did you learn the country?
Yeah. followed around my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Jacob, I think.
Okay.
Or his uncle, Bob and Noah.
Okay.
I'd be out trapping or hunting and follow them around and kind of learn the country from them.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask them specific questions, or did they offer specific suggestions, or is it just a matter of observing?
Yeah, they told me about, yeah, so I didn't learn it on my own. They let me know names and locations.
Okay, they taught you names? Did they teach you the ways to travel? Did they teach you to, you know, to follow the rivers or creeks, or was this something you would have known normally?
Yeah, we normally travel through the river. It's usually faster, mm-hmm. the trail than through land a lot of times.
Yeah.
But it's better sometimes through land, because you can go straight on through instead of following a long curvy river.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kind of learn the spots which are shortcuts.
When you travel, do you mostly find that there are already trails out there that you're able to use, or is it a matter of making your own trails?
Yeah. And nowadays, I make my own trail where we follow an established trail.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use a certain trail year after year. We just cut the trail right about the same location.
Okay. Well, does that mean that even if you even if you couldn't see it, say after a new snowfall, you'd know pretty much where to go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is something you learned after a while?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. From traveling through the same route number of times.
I noticed going down to Townsport that there was a lot of switching back and forth when you're going down. It's not simply a matter of going straight down one side. Mm-hmm. You sort of have to know where to switch and where to do the driving. And is this something you just learn through experience?
Yeah, you learn it with the guys as you travel the route.
Mm-hmm.
As you go by yourself too, you come around and you follow a long curvy river before, and then you find out there's a street. A shortcut, it's kind of clear, not so many willows on the way.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of take off on that?
Mm-hmm. You just learn it as you see the country too.
Yeah. You get a kind of feel for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got here in 78. When did you start feeling comfortable traveling by yourself? How long was it before you were traveling by yourself?
Probably maybe the third year.
Mm-hmm.
After I learned a few directions which way to go.
Mm-hmm. And basically these were, what did you do? You hunted caribou? Did you run a trap line?
Yeah, hunted caribou, run a trap line.
Mm-hmm. Was that all?
Or hunted for sheep.
Uh-huh. You went pretty well, pretty much to all of the valleys here. You went up Manitowoc and down the John River.
Yeah, now I've got a pretty good idea of the rivers located here, mm-hmm. in all directions. I think I got a pretty good idea.
You You travel pretty much at all seasons now. You travel in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Summertime.
I travel all winter and summertime. You know. Mm-hmm.
You have a job now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're working during the day.
Yeah, I work during the day.
Which means you probably don't travel weekends.
Yeah, weekends or I'll go on leave. Mm-hmm. So I do extensive traveling. Yeah.
This is something you've come to sort of just fit into. You start enjoying it now? Because
Oh, yeah.
You weren't doing very much in Barrow.
Yeah.
It's a good way of life for you.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I get to go around the countryside to do some hunting or trapping.
Okay, have you come to
go camping?
Have you come to depend on caribou for subsistence? Part of your subsistence, anyway? Part of your food?
Yeah, we depend on caribou quite a bit, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stock up for the winter. Or hunt during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Have some meat supply. There.
You have an ice cellar set up somewhere?
No.
They have a freezer,
here, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. How do you handle storm conditions when you've been out there? I have a feeling if you've traveled during the wintertime, occasionally you've run into a storm, haven't you?
Yeah. Run into a few storms traveling with someone and traveling by myself too.
Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
I usually try and maybe follow my trail.
Are you still able to follow it?
A lot of times, if we have a well-used trail, we can travel through it, but a lot of times you don't have that too, because you're just starting to get into an area, a certain part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was out at Nigo River in mid-March, I was alone traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And a storm suddenly came in, and turned the light out, and it was blowing real bad.
Yeah.
So I knew the valley, the river, and the valley of mountain sites. I didn't have established trails. So which direction to go back to my camp.
Okay.
So I, the valley was kind of broad, so I immediately went to the underneath the mountain side, just hugged the
long
mountain
at the base.
Along the base until I got to our camp about the I was out about 8 miles from our camp.
When you were caught out.
Mm-hmm.
So you know pretty much the direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a matter of staying in touch with those things that you could see still.
Mm-hmm. So you have a landmark to travel by.
Yeah.
It makes it easier instead of staying right in the middle of the broad flat valley.
Okay.
You'll tend to stray off course somewhere and may end up circling around.
Yeah. What month was that?
This was last month.
Last month, that was March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Visibility was just right to there.
Which means you had to really stay close to
to
the base of the mountain, the cliff. Or was there a bluff there or what?
Just mostly traveled along the base of the mountain.
Okay.
And I
started
hunting then. I had left my sled along the river bank.
Mm-hmm.
When the storm caught me, I went to the area where my sled was, but I couldn't really find a location.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided to head back to my camp before I run out of gas.
Yeah.
So I just went straight home instead of chancing,
mm-hmm.
running out of gas.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
You came back later for the sled, I assume.
Yeah, I went back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten better. Visibility was pretty good.
Yeah. How about traveling the Chandler area? It's less mountainous, it's more rolling, isn't it? There. Rolling hills? Or is that also mountains? In the Chandler Lake area.
Chandler Lake is just like here.
You have mountains on the side there? Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
But if you get out into the foothills, it's all rolling hills to the north.
Okay.
With a few mountains located here and there.
Have you traveled up in that area? Do you travel up in there? What do you do up there?
Go out hunting for wolf, wolverine.
Okay.
Mostly.
Is that a different kind of travel for, you know, knowing where you're at, or is it again following trails when you're there?
Yeah, it's feel you have to know the country. Probably like it's all rolling foothills and there's rivers located so far in between each other.
So what you do is sort of keep contact with the rivers?
Yeah, keep in contact with which river you crossed, or you could kind of know how far you're from the edge of the north side of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Could keep track of how many rivers and creeks you crossed.
Okay, so that's something you do consciously?
Uh-huh, yeah, I keep track of which river I passed, where I was heading, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you
so heard? I try to keep a bearing of where I'm at.
Do you use the sky at all? Do you use the sun position or moon position at all when you're traveling out there?
Yeah.
For directions?
Yeah, I use that. I'll watch for like the moon location, like just before dark. I'll notice off in the distance where the moon is. You kind of eyeball it to where, which valley you want to get into.
Okay, use it for guiding on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about for direction, knowing that it rises in the east or something such as that? Or not really for that?
Yeah, I haven't really learned like specific time of the day, like morning, but for evening I usually get a fix on like a certain star.
Okay. Are there specific stars or just happens? Whatever star happens to be in the right place.
Yeah, whichever one happens to be right.
Are there any specific stars that you use regularly for direction or orientation at nighttime when you've been out? Do you travel at night at all?
No. Usually right inside the mountains mostly when I'm traveling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you work it at night then? Is it a matter of just using the headlights on your snow machine, following a trail?
Yeah, using the headlights and the sights of the valley.
You see enough of that, even at nighttime?
Uh-huh. Or sometimes it'll be too pitch dark.
Yeah.
So I usually straying off course on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Watch for the sights of the mountain to guide me. You could see some of the dark outline in the dark yet.
Are you looking at the mountain, or are you looking between the mountain and the sky, or just really against the darkness of the mountain?
Again, against the side.
It's not really dark. It's snow covered usually. It's not in the wintertime.
Yeah. But you'll have dark spots like that, right where it's awfully windy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize those dark spots?
Yeah, I can recognize a certain mountain in the dark, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling around, learning it.
So what you're saying is that even in nighttime, you really see enough out there in order to be able to continue to travel.
Yeah, I come into a situation sometimes, so it'll be too dark to kind of know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I have been blown over and drifted over. Can't locate you, okay? So it's too broad of a valley.
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
I'll try to get within visibility or close to a mountainside, or if I recognize a certain spot, eyeball which direction.
So when you're in a situation like that, you try to go to the periphery, closer to the mountain, in other words, so that you can see where you're at.
No.
And there's usually enough light for you to be able to do that.
Yeah, or if I'm way up north, it's all flat and rolling hills. I usually try and stay on the river, close to the river, or
Have you ever been in a situation where, in fact, you got yourself pretty well disoriented or lost? You weren't quite sure where you're at.
Yeah.
Do you remember the specifics of the situation, when it was, and what month it was, or where?
Three years ago, my trapping partner and I, we were out hunting. We were about 110 miles west of here, in the Naigo area. In the day, straight up north, it's not as mountainous as here.
Mm-hmm.
There's some mountains around and broad rolling hills. Some flat, not a broad, flat valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so dark.
Don't do that.
We had kind of situated ourselves. We've gotten some wolves.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do some skinning. Just before it got dark, I positioned my snow machine in a certain way. And so we get an idea of which way to head home.
Okay.
It's kind of a quiet out at night, quiet out conditions.
Yeah.
strayed off towards somewhere. This was in a very broad valley area.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up, we were lost a good 4 or 5 hours. We'd get back, we'd connect with our trail earlier in the afternoon, where we'd been several times. We made a circle,
complete circle.
We'd always find out where we had been then earlier. It was kind of blowing too, blowing slow. So we had been kind of traveling this kind of a circle where we'd been trying to connect with our trail earlier in the day. So
how did you finally get out of it?
We traveled a different direction. We decided not to go the same circle.
Mm-hmm.
Took off in the off direction of another pattern. And we finally connected with a hill that we recognized. And that's how we got back on our course. Well, I remember now, it was awfully windy. Blowing snow at night. We recognized this nice little big hill, about a 30-foot nice hill located right next to a mountain. So we knew we were by Douglas Lake. And we knew which way to go from there on. Kind of a mountainous over this way where our trail was. And we'd been out in a big flat area, 15, 20 miles broad, flat valley out here somewhere. There's mountains off to the east also. So we had connected back to the mountain. Which way to go through.
You had been going around in a circle trying to find a trail? Sort of a larger and larger circle? Was that it?
I think when we had left from our skinny location, we had somehow probably strayed off and maybe did a long curve, and we have ended up northwest, we should have been going southeast.
Okay. In other words, you weren't intending a big circle, but you ended up going in a big circle.
Somehow we strayed off course and headed in a different direction.
Yeah. But this was at nighttime, and there was the wind blowing as well. Did you try to use the wind at all for direction? You remember?
Yeah, we had used it, I think.
Was it coming from one direction primarily?
I think it was blowing a south wind. We were totally lost.
You were both traveling together.
We finally got back to our camp 4 in the morning.
Oh my. Well, as I as I try to reconstruct it, what you were in an area which was pretty much hilly. It was actually pretty much flat, but there was an area that was a hill, a perfect hill, close to the mountain that you're using to orient by. You'd been out hunting wolves, and the storm came up.
Hey, what you doing?
It was getting dark.
And we couldn't tell if we were traveling next to a mountain too, because of the blowing snow.
Yeah, it was just blowing too much.
And we had just gotten ourselves right to the mountain when we recognized the location there.
Hmm. Yeah. That makes for a difficult kind of travel.
And I'm still learning that country over there too.
North. Yeah.
I got a pretty good idea of how that land is. Where's our location?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still kind of learning about it.
Yeah. When you travel, do you travel mostly with other people now, or do you go out more often by yourself, or does it make just a matter what it happens to be?
Yeah, most of the time I'm traveling with someone.
Okay.
Winter time.
Okay. That's by preference for safeties or safety purpose, or because it's you prefer to have somebody else with you for social reasons.
Yeah. Being together. For social reasons and hunt together, or trap in the same area. Yeah.
Do you use a compass at all? Have you ever used a compass?
Yeah.
Do you carry it with you regularly?
Not most of the time.
Okay.
I do when I'm by myself.
Okay. When you're going out by yourself, you make it a point to take the compass with you.
Uh-huh.
You feel comfortable using the compass?
You.
Or is it just something you use in an emergency sort of circumstance?
Yeah, for emergency.
How about a map? Do you refer to maps regularly? Do you take any maps with you?
Yeah, I have a map of a pretty good, like a 100-mile radius from here. I have a map of that I carry around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On occasion you refer to it, or do you refer to it pretty regularly?
Yeah, we refer to it, yeah. Like if you want to find out, if you want to go in this creek, where it will lead you to. Yeah.
You want to know where it leads.
Uh-huh, yeah. You make use of it, yeah.
Has it ever gotten you out of a situation where you might otherwise have gotten lost? Can you think of?
Yeah. I try to memorize the map there, so I'll know what river I'm crossing.
Okay. You know the names of most of the places around the country now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Do you consider these important? Is it important to know the names?
Yeah.
Why?
Use them as a reference. Like if you're out west, northwest of here, 70 some miles, you could reference yourself to what river you're going to get to next, or on your return home. Remember what river you went to last, which one to hit next, and it'll take you to a certain pass like here.
Very well. How does knowing the names help you do that?
Area is like out here. I want to get to an Ektuvik pass like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what rivers to turn off at.
Okay. The names, in effect, help you to organize places?
Yeah.
Is that what
yeah.
it is?
It organizes your destination. Yeah.
If I flew you around in a fog, in a plane, and dropped you off on a river, is there enough about that river for you to recognize it if you didn't otherwise know how you'd gotten there?
Maybe. A lot of times I might know where it would be, yeah.
You might recognize the mm-hmm. features enough?
Mm-hmm.
You traveled enough to know mm-hmm. that for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the name isn't important in that sense so much.
Yeah, probably. Recognizing where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you get directions from people, do you ask them to draw your map? Do you use maps? Or do they draw your maps, or are they just usually describe? Is describing to you verbally enough for you to understand where you where you're supposed to be going, or where they're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Description of yeah. Tell you a certain name. The spot
mm-hmm.
where you're going to get to. There. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll all be by words and
mm-hmm.
things. Have you ever drawn a map for somebody when you tried to explain to them where you were going? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before I leave, I'll tell them where I'm going.
Okay, you'll tell them where you're going. You won't draw a map of it, though.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell them I'll be in the general area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what you're saying is that there are some things, mostly it's a matter of recognizing the landscape, recognizing where the hills are and the mountains and where the creeks are, the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You use snow drifts occasionally in the broad valleys.
Mm-hmm.
You can use those because you know the way they drift.
Mm-hmm.
But they will differ from place to place, won't they? Some snow drifts will be north-south, some will be east-west.
Mm-hmm.
Will they?
Mm-hmm.
They can be that different?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of have to know where you are in order to be able to use the snow drifts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Girl, come here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You use the moon to guide on.
Mm-hmm.
You use the sun at all? Can you use the sun at all for a position, for location? For example, sometime in the evening during the winter time, you can look and see where dusk is.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's south anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be a good way to. Yeah.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever needed to do that?
Yeah.
Mommy. Yeah. During the daylight, too, yeah.
Mommy. Mommy. Leave him there.
It kind of get an idea of what time it is.
Yeah.
How the sun is. How far.
It's usually more as a measure of time than of the direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the daylight to darkness in between.
Yeah.
Get an idea of what time it is.
Generally, when you go out, you tell your wife or other people where you're going to be going, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually do.
Have you, has search and rescue ever had to come out for you?
Yeah, once.
equipment breakdown?
Yeah, machine breakdown.
What's the situation with the snow machines? You find them pretty dependable?
Yeah, nowadays they're dependable. Yeah. Depend on them to get you home.
Mm-hmm.
You know the condition of your snow machine well enough.
Have you become a pretty good mechanic?
Yeah, I usually don't go if I feel a chance in the snow machine.
Mm-hmm.
I usually try not to situate myself like that, going out with a chance in the machine.
Yeah. You take a fair number of parts with you?
Yeah, that's a spare emergency part.
What part specifically do you usually carry with you?
Some spark plug, drive belt,
and
headlight.
That's basically it? Those are things that'll go
bad?
Yeah,
mostly those, yeah.
Yeah. And then you have all the tools you need to work them as well.
Tools and flashlight that I carry around.
Yeah.
When you get started.
When you go out, you usually carry your tent with you? If you have to stay out overnight? Or it depends on whether you plan to stay and spend out overnight.
If I plan to stay overnight, I usually carry a tent.
Okay, but normally you're only going out for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't take a tent with you?
Mm-hmm. I take some spear clothes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any extra food, water?
The clothing early winter.
Mm-hmm.
When it's rivers are overflowing quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about summer travel? Do you use an eight-wheeler or six-wheeler?
Yeah, eight-wheeler.
During the summertime, I assume there are probably fewer problems to travel, aren't there?
Or probably more.
Why is that?
Rough terrain. It's pretty rough on equipment.
Ah, you mean the summertime with wintertime with the snow, it sort of makes it easier to travel on?
Yeah, it's easier winter because you're traveling on snow.
Okay, no one's mentioned that. Summertime, though, you got everything exposed, all the rocks and bumps.
So it's much more maintenance.
Intensive.
Yeah. Because you're a pretty rough country out there.
Yeah. You get fog conditions out there once in a while?
I get into fog. And that's when I carry a tent with me to most of my trips.
Mm. During the summertime?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, it's also easier staying out in the summertime than the wintertime.
Yeah.
And you have a six-wheeler or eight-wheeler?
Eight.
It doesn't go as fast as a snowmobile, snow machine, does it?
No. Much slower traveling.
What about the... Less. Is that about a dog team speed or...?
Probably...
Fast walk.
You can average 5 miles per hour.
Only 5 miles per hour. It's slow. Yeah.
You're traveling along pretty well, but it's the terrain where it gets pretty rough.
Yeah.
So you have to slow down so you don't break your eight-wheeler in half as it's going out.
You use a different trail then when you're going in the summertime than when you're going in the winter.
Mm-hmm. You usually have established better trails to travel through. Yeah.
In the summertime?
Or for summer travel.
Okay.
We try to take the best terrain where it's not so rough.
Okay. Well, you're doing that in a sense also during the winter time, but there's more terrain that you can travel on, you're saying, probably during the winter because of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
So in the summertime, you're even more constrained or concerned about the roughness of the terrain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty slow traveling.
Yeah. How about going up slope? Because the caribou and sheep, of course, are in higher elevations. Do you travel up slope, higher elevations during the summertime?
Sometimes, yeah. But I usually walk if I have to.
Okay, you don't go up the slope.
I usually walk, yeah.
Do the game come down low enough? Are they in the valley? For example, caribou. I thought during the summertime, at least, they're relatively high elevation.
Yeah, they're pretty high if they're inside the mountains.
Yeah.
So you have to do a lot of hiking.
Okay, so you do that on foot to leave the machine behind. Mm-hmm. Is that because of the restrictions on the ATVs? Or because simply it's too difficult to travel up the slope?
I prefer to walk to the game when I'm out hunting than to...
It's easier, quieter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That way I have a better chance of getting my caribou.
Okay, I'd forgotten about the noise factor. Yeah. And it's easy enough to pack the game downhill, isn't it?
And a lot of times I can skin it on location and I could find a trail to get to it.
Oh, take it off.
You mean afterward with your vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times I can drive right up to the location.
Okay. Does that take a pretty good slope? Is it geared down so that you can really go up slope pretty well?
Yeah. It's got good low end to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much of a degree you can travel them. You don't want to go up too steep of a hill.
Yeah, well, you worry about flipping over.
Yeah, chancing it quite a bit.
How about with the snow machine in terms of slope? Did you go up any better slope with the snow machine than you can with the eight-wheeler? Or about the same?
Yeah, about the same.
Wait, come here.
With a snow machine, you can get pretty good altitude.
Can you?
A lot of climbing power.
Mm-hmm. Just so long as the snow is there and you don't have to worry about going off the cliffs.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that problem?
I usually don't try to climb up too steep. I don't like to chance it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only
if I feel comfortable getting up and back down.
If there aren't too many rocks or cliffs around. Because otherwise, if there's game, it should be easy enough to bring down on the snow, I'm guessing.
No.
Mm. Yeah.
I usually go out by foot to hunt the game mostly, even when I'm out in flat country.
Mm-hmm.
I usually stalk up to a...
Okay. Now, is that in the winter time too, or just in the summer?
Yeah, both winter
and summer. In other words, when you see your game, and in fact, you're going to stop your machine, 200, 300 yards away?
Mm-hmm.
Or more, or less?
Not more than a quarter mile.
Not more than a quarter mile? In other words, there ought to be at least a quarter mile between you and the animal? When you see it?
I could get closer a lot of the times.
Hey, don't take it off. Leave it on.
But you want some fair space so that you can do the stalking.
Spook them away.
Yeah. Use binoculars a lot?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Travel to a high point for those? Or?
Uh-huh. travel to a high point and look the valley over.
Don't stay with
it. I do. Mm-hmm. In summertime, are you usually traveling by yourself or also with other people?
With other people. In fall time, I'm out by myself quite a bit.
Okay. Why in fall by yourself?
So, like I'll take some time off from work to hunt caribou.
Okay. And so other people may be working in there? Yeah.
But everybody's working or other people are out hunting some other direction.
Mm-hmm. No, girl.
I'll be in an area out looking for caribou too.
Mm-hmm. How about wolves?
Yeah.
Usually out by yourself for those?
Usually out with my partner.
Okay. Do you have a regular trapping partner? Do you? Okay.
Yeah, Thomas or
okay, no Tom.
Or Pat McKenna.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Pat though. Oh, they know the country pretty well as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thomas knows more of the country than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit of experience.
Yeah. Is it a matter when you're out with them of using that as a learning experience or?
Yeah. Learning experience, yeah.
Do you have an easy time remembering country, the landscape, the hills and things?
Yeah, if I go over it a few times, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times, so Thomas will take me to an area I've never been in.
Okay.
And he knows already about the area.
Does he point out certain things, or you just sort of observe on your own?
Yeah, he'll tell me, tell me what's the name of this river, or name of the location,
mm-hmm.
name of a mountain.
Have you ever gone exploring yourself to a place that you haven't been before?
Yeah, cool. I explore areas myself, too.
How do you handle that?
Usually do it on a nice day. It's nice weather and stuff.
Where you're sure of seeing things.
Yeah. So I'll know where I'm at. Some new country I've never been to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll usually try and remember what river I cross or which way I headed off to from a certain river.
Yeah. And make sure you come back early enough.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You keep tabs pretty much on time, don't you? Uh-huh. You know what time it is when you're traveling.
I'll try to head home not too late.
Mm-hmm.
Which way I'm going.
Okay. Wintertime, generally, you're trying to get back by nightfall. You don't go out for more than a day.
Mm-hmm.
Fall, essentially the same. You try to get back the same night.
Mm-hmm. Or camping, mostly camping.
In fall, you'll be doing camping. Stay out 2-3 days?
How long? A couple of days.
Okay. And then summertime, camping too?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, 2 or 3 days? 2 days?
Usually. Go out Friday night, set up a camp in the evening, and hunt over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Saturday. And hunt Saturday, at home Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I may even get to hunt early Sunday before heading home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there places that you avoid, you try to avoid when you're traveling? I guess the difficult places, dangerous places?
Yeah, there's some spots where you avoid, there's along our route out west, we have one little pond or lake that doesn't freeze throughout the winter. It kind of water runs year round.
Hello. Men!
Yeah, usually avoid that. There'll be a...
Hi.
Hi, Esther.
Hi.
Hi. There'd be a big hole in the river. Or like open water.
You know where it is, though.
Yeah. We usually avoid areas like that.
And then here later.
Any other kinds of things you can think of? Places you try to avoid? Do you worry about snowslides?
Yeah, we avoid the areas where there's known for avalanche. We avoid the areas.
Are there some areas that are worse than others for that? What is that matter? Simply a slope or what?
Yeah, like a very slim pass where the mountains are just...
They come close. There's not much of a, of a valley.
Not much of a valley. Known to have a lot of avalanche material year after year.
How about summertime? Any places you have to worry about in the summertime in terms of travel? Not really.
Mostly, if you're out with an eight-wheeler, you avoid extremely slopy sides.
In other words, you're not traveling like that.
Yeah. Or very swift flooding rivers.
They have a tendency to float? Okay.
Like early summer, rivers will be swelling.
So you don't want to try crossing those.
Yeah.
But normally the eight-wheeler will be able to go across the creeks or streams, won't
they?
Usually
avoid areas like that.
I'm still trying to get some sense of whether you're able to make use of the wind at all for direction, because the wind is basically from the south and from the north, isn't it?
Yeah, I make use of the wind,
To stay oriented?
I orient myself with the wind,
You find the wind is constant enough?
I usually try to make note of how it's blowing, from what direction.
Can you sense that wind when you're traveling, though, on your vehicle? Or is it mainly cool when you're walking?
You could see, like in the winter, blowing snow.
Okay.
It'll be fierce enough, it's really hitting your face.
So you're conscious of that
for
direction anyway?
Yeah.
If you can't see beyond that anyway. Mm-hmm.
So make use of the wind quite a bit.
But I'm guessing that unlike, up north where you've got a flat surface, you still have primarily to be looking at that surface. It's what you're riding over rather than direction. That's almost the most important, isn't it?
Yeah. We have one area out west. Happened twice. Got pretty windy on us. We come off a mountain pass. It's blowing south wind.
Yeah.
We have to head right into the wind to get to our camp.
Mm-hmm.
a couple of times we veered off to the North Valley, and the wind started coming to my side
the
here.
Other side.
I know I was getting off course. Hit right back into the wind.
Okay, so you were doing that consciously.
Okay. So when the wind starts getting you on the side, getting off course.
Yeah. Have you ever driven up to Nootsit?
No. Maybe halfway to it.
Mm-hmm. Where the country was still hilly.
Mm-hmm. I do most of my long traveling out west, like to the Noatak River.
Okay.
And that's 180 miles west.
So, Chuck, how long does it take you to get out there by snow machine?
Usually, third day.
Third day. That's where you do your trapping?
Checking traps along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Third day we get to it.
Okay. Now, what do you, when you're there, that's primarily for hunting? Mm-hmm. Caribou? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sheep?
Caribou, sheep. Mm-hmm.
Wolves?
Yeah, wolves. Four wolverines.
Yeah, but then you're going with somebody else who also knows the country.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone there often enough, you also know the country, though.
Mm-hmm.
You go usually the same route every time when you're going out there?
Yeah, usually same route.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could take a different route to check the feel out the country.
When you're sometimes, let's say when you're out stalking, sometimes you hit an animal that doesn't want to be wounded, and you continue after it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you finally kill it, have you been able generally to keep track of where you come from so you don't have to worry about, you know, backtracking? Just go a straight line back?
Yeah.
That's usually not a problem.
Yeah, usually not a problem. I could make a shortcut.
Straight line back.
Yeah, straight line back.
You never miss your snow machine.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or do you sometimes have to look for it?
Yeah, sometimes we have to go through our trail. A lot of the times.
You try to find the back trail?
Mm-hmm.
Back track?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes it seems like the willows can grow pretty high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can be pretty well. Mm-hmm. What do you do with your machine when you take off? Do you leave it in a certain spot? So it's going to be able to, you'll be able easily to find it?
Yeah, usually.
Or do you try to hide it so animals don't see it?
A lot of times I'll hide it. Leave it at a certain spot.
Yeah. Are you concerned with leaving it at a spot that you'd be able easily to find it, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like over an overhang or
mm-hmm.
or by a big rock or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that.
You put it on a high spot so you can see it?
Yeah, usually where we can see it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times we leave it where it's hidden.
Why would you want to hide it, leave it where it's hidden?
Game won't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This game, okay. Now, if you've got the choice, you can't have both. One, you put it where you can see it easily, where the animals could also see it, or you try to put it where the animals can see it. Which one do you do?
A lot of the times we do it both, where they won't see it, and leave it at a good certain spot.
What you can recognize.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because both of those are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
little bit about that. You traveled without a headlight?
Uh-huh. Now, 12 o'clock midnight, my headlight burned out.
Yeah.
I was 2 hours out here, about 30 some miles west.
Yeah. West of here.
Uh-huh.
So how did you manage it then?
There was still blue sky up north.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the valley formation. I could see the next creek to enter. I was able to make it out.
There was still enough light, even at midnight, after midnight.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of had to go by memory of trail.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good memory.
Uh-huh.
You slow down a little bit?
Yeah, slow down where I thought it was a lot of drifts.
Sometimes I've been told also, though, that at nighttime you can still see a fair amount when the snow is out there.
Yeah. And
sometimes you can see more of the surrounding country when you don't have your headlight on.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you standing up in your machine or sitting down? Or
sitting.
Still sitting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you in the part where it's still not too many rocks and things?
Yeah, a lot of good snow cover.
You were coming in which valley?
Calitaria Creek.
From the west?
Uh-huh.
Is that from the lake area?
Yeah, from Chandler.
From Chandler Lake. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a place you've been a lot of times before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you to get in then?
Couple of hours.
Yeah. A couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the 30 miles in 2 hours?
Uh-huh.
Even without the headlight?
Yeah.
Did you find out what was wrong with your headlight?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Found out.
What was it?
Voltage regulator. Malfunctioning.
Yeah. Now, I've been told that in the late summer, when it gets dark, it can really be dark because there is no snow to reflect light from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I assume when that kind of nighttime comes on, you don't do any traveling. Is that right?
No. It's pitch black.
And there's no snow on the ground to cushion the ride.
Yeah. Mm. But with a headlight, you can.
The headlight is still sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that time you're also with your eight-wheelers, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of the times in the winter, it'll be a full moon.
Yeah.
And you can actually travel without a headlight all night.
Because
it gets so bright.
Yeah.
I've done it before.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling you're perfect.
Yeah.
You see enough of the trail, or you know the trail well enough, do you?
It's so bright out at night.
Mm. Yes.
Full moon straight above you. Mm.
You think if you got that back to Barrow, you'd be able to go out there and learn that country? Or you think it's just too different, too flat for you now?
You'd have to learn quite a bit, I think. Flat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flat miles.
Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember anything of that early country you traveled in? You know, along the coast or along the river?
Oh yeah.
You still remember it in your mind?
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid in Barrow, my grandpa, he had a those 30-foot boats with a cabin.
Yeah.
You'd go caribou hunting at Tasikbuk Lake.
Okay.
It's closer to Prudhoe.
I know where Tasikbuk, yeah.
Closer to Prudhoe than to Barrow.
Yeah.
Right in that area.
You'd take the boat and camp on the shore, or just stay on boat?
Or sleep in the boat.
But then just hunt on the on the land around Fisherfoot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Caribou hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a different kind of country, and you had to remember different kinds of things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Different from here.
Do you imagine going back to that, ever going back there, or you see yourself just staying here the rest of your...
Probably stay here. Probably won't move for right now.
Okay. Keep on hunting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Teach your youngsters also?
Oh, yeah. They're learning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which would be nice.
Yeah.
Which would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope it all works out well.
Uh-huh.
That's the end of this side of the tape.
First time we went there, we headed back and we hit almost by Skull Cliff.
It was a long.
We weren't using a compass or anything like that.
Okay.
And so we had to go back to the side more material, started heading up again. We got to the spot again, no problem, you know. Of course, we learned that one real good.
Yeah.
Spirit baby the cabin. Second time we headed back, we ended up at Atanuk.
You made an over adjustment.
Yeah. Then that third time we finally got it right.
What was the adjustment you made, though? Was it the angle of the dunes or what?
Yeah,
the drift, rather?
Cutting too much, yeah.
So was it on the drift, though, that you were cutting?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, you learned that from experience. You did one way one time. You went too much the other way, and you ended up finding the right.
Yeah, and watching the horizon, the dark clouds in the ocean.
Yeah.
And that so good. And I was with a guy, Joe Hornaluk.
Mm-hmm.
He's an experienced guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the country like the back of his hand.
When you come to the coast, how do you know whether you go one way or the other way?
I know the,
you know the coast,
know that area.
Okay, so you knew pretty well where you were at.
See, like if I was around here, I'd probably pretty much know which way is east and south. I mean, east and west.
Yeah.
You know, but say if I came into an area like here. You know, I'd be just as lost.
Okay, there might be some problems.
Some place I've never been, you know.
Yeah.
Like just last fall, summer, late summer, we went boating in that Admiralty Bay. Damn, we got lost just all over in the fog in the bay.
You'd never been there before.
I'd been there a few times, but not well enough to know it, you know.
And fog.
In the fog, he zoomed around there and burned up 20 gallons of gas. By the time we knew where the hell we were, we had to head back home.
Is there a special problem when you're going into it by, you're going into what, meat there, or the
trying to get into the ship.
Okay. Does that only have one mouth?
There's a couple of different ways you can. Yeah, these are all masks. There's a few different ways to get into that. Get into the ship. The river, but you gotta really know it, man. This ship, huh? Yeah, right here.
Mm.
It's this way. I used to go this way right here.
Mm-hmm.
Another way, this way. Going through here. And going through one of these other rivers. Mm. Must be the bottom here.
No, that's it. This is the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in the big book.
Okay, it's big spoken, okay. And there's the Tobaluk on this side.
There's Chip River.
Okay, Chip River. Okay. This one right here. This one is Chip River, right?
No, this is over. See where it says Chip?
Oh, right there, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, how old are they? Oh, yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah, there's the other way. Okay, there's the other way. There's the other way.
How do you decide on one way or the other way?
Yeah, I would say there's different channels of the year, just about.
Okay. It's got to be rough finding the right channel.
Like this one right here in Smith Bay.
Yeah.
They say it's different every year coming out.
Yeah.
And it's the same way. I guess it's...
Well, the cold, especially like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Different as you were, huh?
Well, if you can imagine, it's different like this over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got different. So what I'm wondering is how you decide on what the right channel is when you're going in a river like that. You sort of have to know it, though, don't you? But even if you know it, it's like the ice.
Played by ear, because there's already somebody that probably went through there, and he's better off to try to hear and get a hold of somebody. And hey man, what house you guys do on the river? Which way did you guys go and whatnot, you know? But yeah, if you gotta know it by yourself. And
are there any markers? They mark the channels at all?
You mean just for that year?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You sort of have to find it yourself.
Pretty much, yeah. Other guys like to laugh their heads off when you're trying to go in the river anyway. Out of fun.
In other words, it can be difficult. Especially in bad weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, been going up Chip River.
So what you really try to do is get somebody, try to find somebody who's been to give you the suggestion. What do they do? Describe it to you? Do they draw a map or what? How do you handle it? When you ask directions like that.
They got names, a lot of them. If you ask, let's come over, he'll tell you. It's a place to go to, like that one I was pointing at earlier.
Yeah.
The way I used to go there, and they call that spot there.
Okay. Yeah. That refers to the channel?
That refers to this area, this lake, right, which the river went through.
Okay. And,
the other one is called a different, you know.
You would know those names?
Some of them I know them, you know.
So if he says you go by this way, then you know where to go in the best, pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If I know it. But if I don't know it, I'll get to somebody and let them tell me. Good, you know.
Do you ask them to draw your map or is just describing it?
Depends, you know, if I'm talking to them on the CB, maybe they have to describe it and tell me over there.
Okay. Can you handle it that way though? If they just describe it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, they can tell you the first river, second river.
Okay.
Some like inside I know today. First river on the north side.
Okay. When somebody asks you for directions, do you tell them essentially the same way or do you prefer to draw a map for them?
I prefer to tell them the map and talk to them about it, like I'd like, I just want to be there.
Okay.
But that, yeah, we'd have to kind of get the mud and dry it out. You know.
You don't have any problems with that?
When I know the country, I don't have no problems with it. But okay. if I don't really know the country, I don't really much I can draw.
You can't draw for it. I realize you probably want to get home because you want to get to bed. What are the kinds of places you avoid because they're sort of dangerous places to travel, say on Thunder? Although we haven't really talked about, first before we get into that, do you ever have any problems traveling during the summertime on the Thunder? Or is it usually a whole lot easier to travel because you can see better or what? Or are there problems then too?
Less problems in the summer.
Why is that?
Because getting the off season to me?
Yeah.
Easier.
You see more things, for example, or what?
See, when you leave Carroll, especially this area here, you can tell right away. See, you went out into this area,
yeah,
and you looked at a map, and you were, say, right here or right here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you looked at a map before, what would you be looking for?
Lakes, really. Maybe where the rivers are.
You notice that? All the lakes are pointing towards Carroll.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and the river, and you already see running to the river. And there's the lake. And that way is home.
Okay. That's more noticeable in the summertime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even, you know, in the wintertime too, because the lake, a lot of people, you know, there's people travel, man, there's all kinds of ways they travel, man.
Yeah.
Some of them by the skies and the stars, some of them by the moon and the sun, and some of them by looking at the snowdrifts and snowdrifts alone, some of them by looking out into the horizon and learning the
now, how do you know
country,
that?
You know?
Is this because you've been with enough people, you know the different
things they use? Yeah, there's people just travel different.
Okay, that's
some
important.
Of them travel just going in certain direction and they just get there, you know.
They know the direction.
They know the direction, you know. There's no
straight line.
Yeah, you know. And there's some people that want to go point to point, like I like to do.
Okay.
And some of them just, I've been trying to learn that general direction traveling
as well.
That's the best way I can.
Maybe rather than point to point, just being able to get the right sense of direction to go.
Yeah. Like we did. We kind of move up to foot in that direction, and we had been traveling from Barrow pretty much like that for many miles. And you know, up to 50 miles from Barrow, you know, Wainwright is 190 miles, and you're here somewhere. And
why do you think that's better than going point
to point? Learning up to that capability, I think it's better. It ain't the best way to travel. Being able to do that, and you know, once you're able to do that, then you know, you don't really worry about trying to remember point to point stuff. You know?
I mean, once you get to that point, you really know it so well that even in the whiteout, you're going to be going in the right direction. Maybe, huh?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point to where I could travel in the whiteout, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I lose my direction. You can travel in that way.
Now, the advantages of the dog cane used to be to tell the dog to go home. And if you had the right leader, apparently the dog would take you home. You don't have that luxury, that privilege, that snow machine.
Nope.
Did you ever hear at all about dog canes and what they used to be able to do? Did you ever travel in dog canes?
Never traveled in the dog canes.
You missed something.
But I hear some stories. My dad used to.
Did he ever say mostly positive about it, or?
He never really told me about dog team travel. Main thing I've learned from my dad is whaling, you know.
Okay.
He's not much of a land man.
Okay.
He's maybe more of an ocean guy.
Which is probably why you got so much from your mother, your grandmother.
Yeah, on the land side anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah, learning stuff about the ocean and stuff. Oh, that was guys soaking wet, that. And then he just said, that's okay, let's keep going, it's warm out. I thought he was going to fire me right then and there.
You learned a little bit. You speak the language pretty well?
Yeah, yeah.
You got that from your grandmother?
Your mother? My mom, yeah.
That's good.
My mom and dad.
That's good talent.
Yeah, it comes in handy when you're starting to talk and work with older Eskimos and that you don't really understand.
Yeah. You
have to talk to them in your native tongue. It's pretty important.
Is there any problem getting lost on the tundra in the summertime?
There's been cases where I've gotten lost in the summertime in the hardness of tundra, but it was when I was real young.
Okay.
Just up from Thursday up to the mountain.
You just didn't know the area?
Yeah, and not knowing enough yet. And I was with it. The older guys that are supposed to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a couple of miles up in the land and got ugly on us. Nothing major.
Yeah. But in other words, even in the summertime, there can be problems.
Yeah, if you don't know the country.
What are the kinds of things you avoid? Because even if you know the country, you know enough that sometimes places are dangerous, some places are more tricky. You don't want to go where ice is going to be a problem or where some other kinds of things might be difficult. Let me get this thing changed.